In the gospel today, we hear, of course, the story of the Good Samaritan, and I have preached on the Good Samaritan so many times that this week I thought, oh, been there, done that. So I'm going to focus actually on the Colossians, and Paul, in his letters to the Colossians, focuses a lot on prayer, and I thought prayer is a very good thing to preach about this Sunday, most Sundays, but this Sunday with our guests here. And so I begin actually with a cartoon that was given to me when I was at a seminary school by one of the professors there. And in the cartoon, there was a priest at the prayer desk, Prédu, I believe it's called, clearly in his office praying. And the office door is open, and clearly the office administrator's head is poking through. And the caption is, "Oh good, you're not busy." We have some interesting ideas, I think about prayer. Let's pretend that you knew someone who was going to hospital, nothing life-threatening, but a surgery, and a surgery is surgery. What would you say to them? Would you say, "I'm thinking about you," or would you say, "I'm praying for you"? And what is the difference between those two? After his verses of greetings, in his letters to the Colossians, Paul writes that prayer of thanksgiving are being offered to them because of their faith in Christ and their love for their fellow believers. And that's fantastic. Paul is not just simply thinking about the Colossians, he's praying for them. And in this way, Paul is connected to the people of Colossae and everywhere else. See, in the very early church, the practitioners of the Christian faith understood this connection. They believed in the connection of prayer. They believed that a life of prayer put you in connection, really, literally, physical connection with others, as well as with a union with God, and that these practices indeed held the world together. It should be no surprise, then, that prayer features so prominently in Paul's letters, all of them, and particularly to the Colossians. Paul believed prayer not only brought these new communities closer to God, prayer actually held these fragile communities together. And we have to remember that, I think I've mentioned this in the past, I have a difficult relationship with Paul. Sometimes he just goes on and on about himself, and I just can't really stand that, and other times he has lines of great beauty and wonderful theology. And it's also to note that without Paul, Christianity probably wouldn't have made it through. It probably would have fizzled out and died because of his work going to these small communities, these fragile communities of Christian faith, as much as he could, and spreading the word, spreading the good news. He was, in a way, the glue that held these communities together. And he believed that their prayers actually helped with that, helped gluing those communities together. But it's interesting, as I come back to it, the idea of prayer. When I was, mentioned again, when I was in seminary school, I saw a study of Presbyterian priests in Ontario. And I'm not picking on Presbyterians, and I'm not picking on Ontario, but it just happened to be a study of them. And they were asked how many pray on a regular basis, and 40% of them said they did not. 40%. Now, I can't believe there's any difference between them and Anglicans. So, and that's priests. And the reason given mostly was that they didn't have time. Interesting that clergy would have that kind of response. Some, in terms of finding it difficult to pray, might think that they look too holy. Remember, Jesus actually said, you know, the hypocrites who walk up and down the street praying, they can't pray until someone's looking at them, and then they pray, and so people know that they're holy and wonderful. Maybe that's a reason why. Some might not want to wear their religion on their sleeve in front of family, in front of friends. And I can understand that. Some might think it's old-fashioned. That's not really what Christians should do. We should do something else, maybe. Some might just be uncomfortable with it. And I think that's probably the largest reason. I do get asked very often, how do I pray? And I always say, there is no wrong way of praying. But that might be one of them. And of course, when we talk about praying, there's all sorts of jokes about praying, but this is one of my favorite. I'll share with you before I get on to it. So the situation is, it's a big study hall in a university, and the students there are writing their final exam. And as it gets close to the end, where they're packing up their papers and ready to hand them in, the professor standing up says, before anyone leaves, every single person, one of you, must sign a disclaimer saying that you had no outside help writing this exam. And I guess in a day, day age of smartphones, it'd be easy to do. Just type your friend, what's the answer? Well, I suppose you could do it. So they all had to write a disclaimer saying they had no outside help. So everyone's handing it in, right? Disclaimer, all this sort. Well, there's one guy who's just kind of hemming and hawing and standing in back, and finally goes up to the professor and says, look, for the interest of full disclosure, I have to tell you this. Before the exam, and all during the exam, I prayed to God to help me for the answers. And the professor thinks for a moment. He's never heard that one before. And he says, well, give me your exam. So he takes it, he looks at it, goes over each answer. Okay. Hands it back to the student and says, you can write the disclaimer with no worry at all because God didn't answer your prayers. The great theologian Henry Nouwen suggested that many Christians view prayer largely as an intellectual exercise. That is to say, it's an activity of the mind and the mind alone. But that reduces prayer to simply speaking with God or speaking about God. Nouwen argues that this is problematic because in just thinking about God, we are making God an object that needs to be studied and researched. In this sense, properly praying